was out of the blue. It was a common thing. To see that bush burn was a common thing. But when he looked at it, it wasn't being consumed. That's the point God was getting to Moses. And it says there, when God saw that Moses turned aside, then he spoke. The angel of the Lord. When you come to the angel of the Lord in Scripture, it's a reference to the Lord himself. When God got his attention, then he spoke to him. And that's the battle of the mind for many in the church today. I'm not talking about this church particularly. I'm talking generally as we go around and we see what's going on. God's got to get our attention. Ruth touched on it this morning in her comments. God has got to get our attention again. And when he got his attention, that seventh verse, 7 and 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. I thank God this morning. He knows where I am at any given time, and he hears my cry. And I have come down to deliver them up out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them unto the land flowing with milk and honey. We won't go through all the tribes there. It's not relevant to that extent. But he has come down to where we are. That's the important thing here, beloved, this morning. Whatever your circumstances this morning, I may not know about it. The person sat next to you may not know about it. But rest on this truth. God knows about it. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We can put on the suit. We can put on the look and the facade, because that's all it is as far as God is concerned. Because he's not looking here. He's looking here. He's not looking at the outer man of Ken Davis, but the inner man of Ken Davis and the inner person of you. That's what God's looking at this morning. And he knows. He knows everything that there is to know. Take comfort in that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Take comfort in that. I have heard their cry, and I have come down. The Lord spoke to me. He gave me a word on that. Let me share it with you. Let me go to my notes here a minute. Here we are. God has come down to where we are so that he can take us to where he is. We're not talking of when we step over the threshold of death. We're talking of here and now. I've come down to take you up to where I am. Scripture, you want scripture? We'll back it up with scripture. When you've got a moment, you go to Exodus chapter 3, 7 and 8. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Let me read that one to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And there's a particular verse there where it says that he has taken us and he has made us to sit in heavenly places with him. That's where we are, in Christ. You're there. That's the blessing, God's blessing on us every day when he gets our attention. He's got to get our attention all the time. And this is what the Christian walk is all about. It's amazing what God is doing in the church today. In the men's breakfast that Alex comes along on some occasions, it's amazing what God is doing. You know, and he spoke to me coming back to the 19th, I was upstairs in our study that we have at home, and I was going over these notes, and he said, "Ken, people speak about revivals, a lot of talk of revival. A lot of my colleagues, a lot of my friends are evangelists. God bless them, every one of them. But it's not all about evangelism." Now, we're going to get a bit heavy here, but this is the truth of the matter. God said it's a question of repair. Restore. Then evangelism. Repair, restore, then evangelism. When you speak about revival, what does it mean? Anyone? Doesn't matter if you say it wrong. Anyone? Revival. Sorry? Exactly. Thank you. Bring back what was. Thank you. Bring back what was. When we speak of revival, it's not to the unsaved. We're not reviving them. We're reviving those who once walked with the Lord, and because of whatever in the church, that's what we're talking of. Put our own home in order first. And I'm talking of the church, not Liz Vane. Right? Don't stone me. I'm talking of the church. My father was a deacon in the church. And something went on. I don't know exactly what it was. He never would speak to me about it. And when I spoke to my parents and I said, "God's called me into the ministry," that was the greatest opposition that came. My own family, my own parents, because there needed to be a repair, a restore, and a revival. He would come to church, and he was one of the main deacons in the church for years. He would come Christmas, Easter, Harvest. He wouldn't darken the doors otherwise. Do you see the point we're getting to here? So when it comes to revival, there's got to be that repair of what has been damaged. Then there's that restoration. Then we're going to see revival. God said to Moses, and I believe this is a word for some here this morning, "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh." I do believe that's for some here this morning. "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt." That's why I said we're on our way to Canaan. Or are we still in Egypt? Another thing about when they came out of Egypt, do you remember, has anybody seen the Ten Commandments?
Written all the film.
You know it's misleading, don't you? I'm looking at Alex, he's smiling. You're waiting for the punch, you know. Aren't you? You know it's Hollywood. It's all Hollywood. You know that, don't you? Right? Okay. Exodus chapter 12. Here's the proof. And it's the last verse of that chapter. And it came to pass that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. An army is a body of people prepared. They've been repaired. They've been restored. And it said, if you read Jewish history, as the Lord looked down, as they moved through that wilderness for 11 years, taking in mind the purpose was they had gone from Egypt to Canaan in 11 days. Geographically, that would have been the journey. But because of disobedience and murmuring, it took them 40 years because God had to get that out to them before they could go in. There's a lesson there to take on board. But it said they moved in the form of a cross. As he looked down, that's what he saw, the cross. When they camped, that's what he saw, the cross. I believe it's Psalm 104. Here's another point. I believe it's Psalm 104. There wasn't one sick among them. Yet in the great exodus of the Ten Commandments, they're there being carried, and they're hobbling. There wasn't one sick among them. Because the favor of God was on them. Is this making sense to you? We're going to bring it to a close because there's a lot in this for future time. Because we need to look at the preparation that God required for this to happen. That night of the Passover. We need to look at that. What God required with the Passover feast. The blood on the door lintels. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Salvation. I want us to do something together today as an act of witness and as an act of testimony. And that is this. I want to read to you a prayer that was read in 1939. My history is not all that great in that period. Was it the father of the Queen? George the
Sixth.
Thank you. George the Sixth. George the Sixth. We'll come to that in a minute. But suffice to say this. We're in this together. I am your brother in the Lord, and you are my brother and sisters in the Lord. Yes? Yeah. And we're on a journey to Canaan. Canaan, we know, is when we go into the presence of God. But in the meanwhile, there's that relationship that God wants with each and every one of us. He really does. And he's paid for it. Let me just share a little story with you, and I'll make it very brief. The little boy, he's very good at woodwork. And he had made a ship. And he had the sails on it and everything else. And every day, he would go down to the village pond, and he would put it on the pond and it would float around and he would be there for hours. Then his parents said to him, well, one day, John, we're going to be moving to the coast. Right. I got a bigger pond now. It's called the Atlantic. I can go and sail it down on there. So he had a long piece of string, and the string got longer and longer and longer. And he would go down and paddle, and the string would get longer and longer. The ship would go further out and further out, and he'd be going further out and further out till the water was up to here. And then one day he was there, and the wave hit him, and he went back, and the string went, and the boat was gone. So he went home and he wasn't in the best of moods, and his parents, because he was very upset, and time went by. Anyway, cut a long story short, he was walking past a second-hand shop and he looked in the window and he thought, that's my ship. I'll go in and get it. So he went in. He said, that's my ship in the window. Can I have it, please? And the man said, he said, are you sure? He said, yes. He said, I made this. I fashioned it. I made it. That's mine. I made it. It's mine. The man said, well, there's a price for this. How much? £5. I haven't got £5. So the man said, well, I'll tell you what. You come in when you can and pay what you can when you can, and then it's yours. So this went on for quite a few weeks. The end of the story is this, that last 50 pence went down onto the counter and the man said, there you are. And John took it, held it in his arms and he said, you are mine twice. I made you, I lost you, I've bought you back. We're on our way to Canaan, beloved. Or are we still in Egypt?
Well, I think that's a very appropriate time for us to
finish
and reflect yes. on that, don't you,
I want to finish with this.
You're going to do the poem? You're going
yes,
to read the
I'm
poem?
Going to do that. We
Wonderful.
Must do that.
Yes, please
okay?
do that.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely.
And I'm going to ask you if you'll stand with me as a form of testimony to the Lord and to each other. Just stand with me, if you will. And this is what that poem says, or this prayer says. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than the known way. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for my brothers and sisters here and myself collectively together, that we take that step by faith at the beginning of this year, with all its uncertainties, but in the certainty that we can say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. His name be praised and his name be glorified. Amen, amen, amen and amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ross.
About Moses, Egypt, and are we going to Canaan without singing, because we're Welsh,